Hello, I'm Tom Moen, and today I'm beginning an old and yet continuing adventure. In 1968, my family and I returned to Tulsa, where I became the general manager of KORU-FM and Oral Roberts, radio announcer. At that time, from 1968 until March of 71, I had a daily program entitled Good Morning, Brother Pilgrim. And now, after 50 years, I'm resurrecting it with a new title, Good Morning, Fellow Pilgrim. And a pilgrim is a person who's on a journey, and in this case, a journey of the kingdom of God on earth as Jesus prayed. So I hope you'll join me as we look into the past, the present, and the future.
This is the Good Morning, Fellow Pilgrim podcast with Tom Moen for December 30th, 2019.
Once again, good morning, fellow pilgrim. It's a delight to be with you this morning, and I hope that you've enjoyed the time of our roundtable with my sons Matt and Paul. We're going to do some more of that in the future, and I just appreciate them so much, and their conversation has been such a help to me. Well, we are post-Advent now, and I want to read some of the things that are post-Advent, and then I want to read in this podcast and the next one about the coming New Year and what the advent of this child, this baby who grows up, becomes. Oh, we'll get to that. It's so exciting. But let me read just a little bit more about post-Advent, post-birth of Jesus. And I'm going to read from the second chapter of Matthew, chapter 2, and it says this. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who's been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard it, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he began to inquire of them where the Christ was to be born. And they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for it has been written by the prophet, And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod secretly called the Magi and ascertained from them the time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and make careful search for the child. And when you have found him, report to me that I too may come and worship him. And having heard the king, they went their way, and lo, the star which they had seen in the east went on before them, until it came and stood over where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And they came into the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed from their own country, for their own country, by another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt. And remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. And he arose and took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophets might be fulfilled, saying, Out of Egypt did I call my son. Then when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged and sent and slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all the environs for 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had ascertained from the Magi. Then that which was spoken through the Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled, saying, "A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be comforted, because they were no more. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise and take the child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. And he arose and took the child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. And when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and being warned by God in a dream, he departed from the regions of Galilee and came and resided in a city called Nazareth, that what was spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled, he shall be called a Nazarene." Now, I've read the second chapter of Matthew, and I've read it so that we might realize that sometimes our creches that we set up on Christmas for the advent of Jesus and the baby in the manger isn't quite accurate when we put the wise men there, because they come 2 years later. And Jesus has to grow up. I want to read a couple of other things after he's born of Mary. In the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is presented at the temple, and I want to read that from the second chapter of Luke, verse 21. "And when 8 days were completed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angels before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days for their purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him in the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Now, Lord, thou dost let thy bondservant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel.' And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.' And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with a husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. And she never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayer. And at that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all of those who were looking for the redemption of Israel." Now, I'm reading all of that so that we can understand that We've just been through Advent season. We're remembering the babe. We're remembering now the eighth day where he is circumcised. We remember it 2 years old when the wise men came and acknowledged this is the one. The star showed them the way, and then they went back another way so that Herod wouldn't come. But he did come, and the horror of killing every child under 2 years of age. We cannot imagine what that must have been in the city of Bethlehem, the horror of that. And then we also read in the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter, that when Jesus is about 12 years old, they go up to a festival. And you know the story. And they are going to return back to their home, and they can't find Jesus, and they just assume that he's among the relatives or acquaintances. And in verse 45, it goes like this in this second chapter of Luke. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. And it came about that after these days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." And he said to them, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth. And he continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom, stature, and in favor with God and men. I read all of this because I want you to understand that the incarnation, the Advent season that we've just been through, produced a human baby. God become flesh, the incarnation. And he has to grow up and he has to learn. And I thought it was interesting that he goes back now for 18 more years with his father and mother and grows up as the eldest in the family. We read there were probably 7 or 8 other brothers and sisters that would eventually be born to Joseph and Mary. But Jesus goes back for 18 years, and he's just raised as a normal boy. They know he's different because of all that has preceded this, and yet they did not understand the statement that he made to them about his having to be after the Father's business. Can you imagine a 12-year-old? A human 12-year-old saying to his parents, "I've got to be about my father's business." What in the world could he have meant? They're puzzled. It's not sinful what he's saying. He's responding to what it means to be human. Now, I've done this before, but I want to go back to Genesis in the third chapter after the fall, and God pronounces, remember, the curses upon the serpent. And I'm going to pick it up in the 14th verse of Genesis 3. "And the Lord said to the serpent, 'Because you've done this, cursed are you more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel.'" It's important to realize that there are two seeds that are being spoken of here. One is going to be in the seed of the woman, and then there's the seed of the enmity. And the Old Testament is the story of those two seeds. One seed, the one of Satan, trying to find the seed of the woman. Because in the seed of the woman is the Redeemer, is the Christ. And we go back and we can go again to the Gospels of the Gospel of Matthew and read the whole genealogy of Jesus, the book of the genealogy of Jesus, the son of David, the son of Abraham, the son of... That's where you can begin to see. That's where the seed was all this time. And when you go through that, it's amazing through whom the seed is. And Satan's hunting for it. It's my belief, and I hope this isn't just a childlike understanding, that's what the Old Testament story is about. The enemy, Satan, hunting for the seed to kill it. Is it in Ruth? Is it in Rahab? Is it in Esther? Where is the seed? And we know what happens in the birth of the Lord Jesus. It comes down and it says at the end of the genealogy in verse 16, and to Jacob was born Joseph, the husband of Mary, by whom was born Jesus, who's called Christ. Therefore, all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations, and from the deportation of Babylon to the time of Christ, 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus was as follows, when his mother Mary. And we've been through all of that Advent. I wanted to go back and let you know the preparation for the Advent, but also that Jesus grows up. And it's amazing, because some people don't want him to. They kind of think that he lives out of his divinity, and he doesn't. Incarnation. There's a verse in Philippians that often, I think, should be read to people who don't understand the incarnation of Jesus. And I'm going to turn to it. It's in Philippians, the second chapter. And let me read it to you. Come on, Philippians, you keep hiding from me here. Thank you. Here we go. I'm going to read from the second chapter, the fifth verse. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. The point is that Jesus came sinless, but as a man. He had to bear the sins as a man. He's not bearing them out of his divinity. He's bearing them out of his manhood. And so, as we enter this new year, I want you to think of the advent of the Lord Jesus and the baby in the manger and our remembrance of him that we've just come through. But I want you to realize how he grew up. And to use the 2 years, the time in the temple where he's circumcised on the eighth day with Simeon and Anna, the time when he's 12 years old, and begin to realize that this God, man, has to grow up as a man to become our Redeemer. I'm going to continue this in a different way next podcast, but I invite you to just hold your heart before the Lord as this new year comes around. And let it be an opportunity for him to realize, your heart to realize, that Jesus the Christ wants to grow up in you too and make you a man or woman of God and bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
This podcast is available for free download in iTunes and at moanministriesbookstore.com. Sarah Rahm's album, Days of Rain, is available on iTunes and most streaming platforms.